Hello, Chris here. As I record this, U2's just finished their third show on the Joshua Tree 2017 tour, but back after the opening show in Vancouver, a group of us recorded a conversation on Periscope to debrief our thoughts after taking in the show. As a token Canadian, I'll apologize in advance for the audio. It was recorded on a red iPhone, naturally, but the recording is a bit rough and there was some nice background music that the hotel couldn't turn off for some reason. So enjoy our conversation and we'll be back again next episode with more from atu2.com.
Podcast music, but we'll just say this is the podcast. Welcome to the show. So from the folks who are watching the Periscope, from left we have, why don't you introduce yourselves?
He doesn't know our names right now.
It's only really? Late.
It's late.
From the left we have Becky. Becky. I forgot who that is.
Which left? Oh, my which left or your left?
My left, I guess, sorry.
Your left. Okay. Jill.
Michelle.
Tisula.
Sherry. And Becky.
And yes, this is the feminist podcast.
This is the ultraviolet edition.
If anyone saw ultraviolet, you understand why we're all sitting here.
Yeah, why don't we just explain that right away? So what's just people are aware? Somebody want to...
Go ahead, Sula.
Well, women of the world unite. Bono dedicated ultraviolet to all of their wives and their daughters and the women in the U2 fan community that they feel like they know, I believe is the way
and
to
those
say.
They yes. have yet to meet.
And those they have yet to meet. So it was very empowering, and they flashed pictures of influential women from around the world throughout time, throughout the song. So it was really great, it was really meaningful, and obviously directed at us.
Name all the people on the screens, go.
Ellen DeGeneres was there.
Did you see the one that died in 1623?
Gloria Steinem.
Yeah. That's answer guy. If you
Pussy Riot was up there.
The Summer
Riot
was up there. Yeah.
Can you guys name the Canadian content on the screen?
I couldn't.
There were some poems up.
Joni Mitchell.
I couldn't see it all. Oh, yeah, Joni Mitchell.
K-U-N.
I couldn't see it all.
We're in Canada. Come on. We got to have Canadian content.
Sarah McLaughlin was not up there.
No. All right, throw your questions
in there.
We got
excluded by you, too.
Oprah, no. Oprah was up here.
So there'll be spoilers if you're not aware. Obviously, we'll be talking about the show, so...
We already ruined
close
one of them.
Close your ears if you... Yeah,
it's
already up on YouTube at this point,
I'm sure
so...
You watched, if you're watching this, you probably watched Periscopes and watched whatever throughout the show, so... There was Canadians on screen, Caroline. So, opening song, thoughts...
I was right.
Joe was.
I am really doing well with my predictions on this tour, let's just say. Everybody thought they were, well, a lot of my friends and a lot of my peers thought that we were going to open with A Sort of Homecoming. And I was like, no, it's Sunday Bloody Sunday. And it was Sunday Bloody Sunday. And it was fantastic, I thought.
It was a good one, too.
With Larry walking out.
I couldn't see him.
Yeah, there's recommendations to be.
Whoa! Sorry. I was aiming for the couch. It kept buzzing.
That was your phone. Right?
That was my phone. Yeah, that was my phone. It's all right.
No, only you throw my phone.
No, but I'm starting with Sunny Play Sunday with the opening line, I can't believe the news today. That's what we're all talking about.
Yeah.
It's that passion, it's that anger song, it's that rise up to protest, and they use that as a bookend. You know, it went right into Sunny Play Sunday, right into New Year's Day, keeping that theme going. So then they created that bridge. You know, they wanted to ease you into
Well, and I like that they only did stuff from War and Unforgettable Fire into JT. They didn't do anything new before that.
Yes, I agree.
I appreciate that.
It just totally took me back to like the early 80s. You felt like you were right where you needed to be leading into the Joshua Tree. You know, and those were early 80s. Just big hits and club songs and dance songs, and they were very, very
great. MLK, the club song.
Oh, not MLK.
Sorry.
Sunday Bloody Sunday and New Year's Day. So I think it just got people going.
From a production standpoint.
Yeah, not MLK.
So the band took the stage and walked down to the tree and did those first songs before they launched into streets from the middle of the audience. And the
no screen, right?
Yeah, there's
or no,
no screen. Whenever you had the lyric like "We can be as one," or that, the crowd lights went up to almost. It felt like inclusiveness. We are with you. We are one with you. We are it was very communal. And they stayed down there until streets.
Nick the Quick asked why you couldn't see Larry, and that's because of the height challenged folks in the audience.
Yes. Just like being on a floor, and they didn't show anybody on the screen for some time, and so you have to chalky. If you're like me and been to old school concerts in the day, back in the day, and before they ever had the video screens, you had to jockey for position to try to see the guys, where you just have a stage in the back, the amps, and then some lights.
Yeah, sure, you were at the back of the
stadium. Right? You got a better show the further back you were able to get, because the screen is ginormous. You thought the Pop Mart screen was big, you thought in the arena the Innocence and Experience screen was huge. This is just, it goes from one end of the end zone all the way to the other, and you need that type of perspective in order to see. I think that they're also not focusing so much on the band members, because this is a show about the music, and that the music is bigger than they are, and they're trying to position themselves to be just like all of us, only they're up on the stage performing it, but they are one of us, letting the music speak.
So from we covered sort of a bit of the intro for 3-4 songs at the beginning, and then they move into playing the Joshua Tree set, the whole album, and thoughts on how that sort of progressed from hearing the whole thing live, I guess, in... Sorry, I'm getting questions out there.
Sure.
But yeah, anybody, Michelle or Jill, any thoughts on like just hearing the whole album as a one piece?
I think it worked because I was, before the show, I was like, oh, I don't want them to play it in order. I want them to like mix it up. I don't want them to, but like it just was like what Becky was saying, like starting out with like the 80s, like all the early stuff, and then just going into the album. And then I'm like, oh, like hearing it as the sequence, it worked. And I think it was something that they really thought through to do that. So I think I regret saying it where I'm like, don't mix it up. But I think it worked really great. And with the screen as the back, it was just, it was so cohesive, and I think it just really made sense. I really think they thought about it, how to celebrate a 30-year-old album and make it kind of seem a little bit more fresh for some of us who didn't see that first Joshua Tree tour. So I think it definitely
weren't alive when it happened.
I was two.
Oh, we were two.
Oh my gosh!
I was not in utero. I was two.
Wow.
You still didn't go, hey?
Yeah, still go.
Someone asked a couple times what each of your favorite song from the concert was, so why don't we just cover that right now?
I think we all have the same favorite.
Yeah.
Yes. I
actually
do. Yeah. It's Exit.
Exit
was great.
Exit is the showstopper.
Exit.
It really is.
Boom.
Especially for YouTube fans, right? Like,
right.
I mean, obviously anybody here is a YouTube fan, but like...
But I can't say that I honestly... It was not one of my favorite songs before tonight, and now it is.
Yeah.
Exit is the epitome of the Heart of Darkness. Bono takes on the character. He takes off his glasses. He's got a hat on. You know he's a character. And it's like the Jimmy Swaggart televangelist character from the Zoo TV era, meeting Mephisto, meeting the Fly. It's an amalgamation of all of those types of characters.
We've got some disturbances over here. The gentleman want to be on the show, apparently.
Light the way. Okay. So everybody's in agreement on X. Somebody said the best moment. I think that's what you're talking about. The exit.
Exit was the exit best moment. Was the best every.
Surprisingly, actually, I didn't know that it would be, and when it came up,
the whole place lit up.
It's so hard driving too, and that's the thing. It's just. It totally fit. And to
he
me,
was really into it.
That epitomized the original Joshua Tree tour, which I did see. So that felt like the Joshua Tree tour. That one song.
Yeah, these two saw the original Joshua Tree tour.
Oh, yeah.
So do you feel the same way?
Yeah, and I mean, just seeing the Where the Streets Have No Name just took me back, because that was the very first song I ever heard them play live. And that got me, because I was just...
Heavy Streets
was just really moving, because it just took me back to that first moment of ever seeing them live. So that was, that had me. Yeah, it was great.
Was it, this is a kind of a common thing of like the hardcore U2 fans and then having the drunk U2 fans next to you during
that
a song
infuriated
that's...
infuriated me. And so, pop smokers infuriated and all that.
So how does a fan enjoy the show while still being a nice human being?
In the seats.
Yeah.
This is an in the seats type of tour.
Unfortunately, maybe.
Or I guess at the back you were.
Or in the back, or further back, we probably wouldn't have run into somebody. But it wasn't as much like drunken beer dancing. It was people going in and out. Like there was people leaving during Red Hill Mining Town, and I wanted to shake them.
Oh, I know.
Like it hurt.
I know.
And it got in my way. Like it messed with my experience because I didn't see everything because they were taller than I was, of course.
Anyone who has a Red Zone ticket, you are going to be very, very happy.
Yeah, that's the best vantage point.
That was amazing, and it made me wish I had gotten one.
Although I wonder if some of the video is going to be kind of...
Except
you know,
they probably couldn't see the video as well.
Larger than life.
Well, no, because they had that whole section on edge side that went down around the first part of the tree, didn't they? A little bit? Did
it
go that far?
I couldn't see that far.
I think they could see the screen. It was probably at an angle, but...
What other questions?
It looked oddly like cardboard, actually, before they...
That's what I thought, too.
...thing lit up. It looked like a cardboard.
I was like, holding on until they just folded up.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Sure, you're saying it's like an 8,000?
It's a... Yeah.
Something K, whatever.
Yeah, it's top of the line, everything. Yeah. When Streets comes on and it's got the video of just driving along the road, it felt like you were in virtual reality. You felt like you kind of had a little bit of vertigo with the motion. You thought that you were actually driving on the road, and there was just like a little Larry bobblehead.
Yeah, because Larry's
in
the right
car,
in the middle.
Because Larry's right in the middle.
Yeah.
And he's so little. Well, you know.
Careful.
I don't mean little, but like...
No, but the perspective
the
of
and the
that
perspective,
screen.
The perspective, yes.
So there's a bunch of questions there. The Edge's backing vocals, he seemed kind of loud, is what one person was probably on the mixer. It depends where the person was.
But I didn't hear him on Red Hill Mining Town at the end like I expected you. Did you guys? The all that's left to hold on to.
Well,
I
he was having
that.
Technical glitches throughout the night.
I know.
His guitar in Streets, he was having issues with
his
guitar.
Yeah, he broke a string or something.
But did anybody else hear that? I'm honestly asking.
No,
I
don't think
not.
I did not.
We'll go to YouTube
and I was waiting to hear it. So you're right.
I was waiting
yes.
for the Edge's backing vocals in the new version of Red Hill.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
He only played piano, too, so any guitar nerds like Scott and I were saying.
I was too much focused on the fact that I didn't hear any guitar.
Yeah, I was missing the guitar.
Yeah, right, was right.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't. That was a tiny
was
bit
different.
Disappointing to me.
Caroline asked somewhere in there about the cohesion of each song to the next one that seemed a little disjointed on the mixer or wherever she was watching.
Yeah, I think Sherry mentioned it earlier. I'm talking about there should be like a segue between once Mothers Would Have Disappeared and then going into the encore.
But I think they meant
kind of
the album.
Oh, and
I didn't think it was bad. I mean, I'm used to listening to the album in order. So.
Yeah,
right.
I think it was fine.
The sequence
there should have been
a
longer break in between Running to Stand Still and Red Hill Mining Town because you'd have to flip the vinyl or flip the tape.
Well, and I expected, to be honest, Red Hill Mining Town, again, to go back to it, I expected when the first thing you see is the Salvation Army band with their brass, I thought that was meaning that we were going to hear the new version with the loud brass, and we
I thought so too, right?
It was not loud.
Yeah.
It wasn't high in the mix at all, for sure.
That video seemed odd.
It was disappointing. That was disappointing. But you know what I like, and this is going to sound very, very funny to anybody who's listened to the podcast before, I really like Trip Through Your Wives.
I know, which I thought was...
I really
like it. Because you're the one, you're like, I don't like it.
I don't want to hear it. And then I was just totally into it. The harmonica was fantastic. The visuals were fun. Like, it was great. It seemed like they were having fun when they were playing it.
They were having fun. They Adam was smiling, I noticed, in that part.
Yeah.
But, like, it was funny. A Trip Through Your Wires, and then... Which I thought was really fun.
I did like it.
It made me think of... when they played the original tour, and that it was, they didn't get the tempo. The tempos were different this time around. It was weird. Like they were, I felt like they were struggling tonight getting tempo right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was me and the echo in there somehow, but they were definitely. It's the first night, and it looked like they had some struggles. But Trip Through Your Wires was a lot of fun.
So, how does this tour compare with past tours? Of course,
it's not as good as IE. IE will always be my favorite, but.
I want to see a few more shows before I make that determination.
Yeah.
Because I had an emotional reaction to this.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of there are a lot of homages to other tours, like anything U2 does. You've got The Onion, where there are so many different layers, and there are elements of Rattle and Hum. There's elements of Zoo TV tour that are featured. There's elements of Pop Mart that are featured during some of the visuals. Know up on the screen, it was similar treatment. You've got a throwback to the 360 tour with the little bouncing heads, but instead it's more like a robotic headless rather nothing but the floating head of the band member singing Beautiful Day, right? Mm-hmm. That was during Beautiful Day.
The mirror ball
was gorgeous.
Yeah, the mirror ball was up at the top. So, you know, there are little hints that if you've followed them for a long time, they're like little hidden Easter eggs throughout the show.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
That was fun.
Y'all are seeing, someone asked, Ian, or no, who's Sing No More, is Kenny.
It's Kenny!
Kenny's asking.
Kenny! We miss you, Kenny!
Jill, did you cry?
Oh, God, yes!
During Running to Stand
Still. Running to Stand Still, she lost it. One Tree Hill, I lost it.
Okay, I was disappointed they did the piano version of Running Scene, so I was hoping for guitar there too, but and which, go from Jill over, how many or more shows are you seeing was another question.
Boston and then both New Jersey shows.
So that's three.
Four.
Joe?
Four.
One on the books, probably a couple others.
Just two. Foxborough and Cleveland.
Houston, if you're coming to Houston, let me know.
Some of us will be in Seattle. That's probably obvious.
And so more people need to come to Louisville.
Yeah,
there's apparently a lot of tickets left. So if anybody's looking for
in Pittsburgh.
A show,
yeah. Is anybody going to Bonnaroo? Guess not.
I
have no
desire to go.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I can barely stand up after this show.
Yeah, right.
That was Scott Coretta, by the way.
Festival, no way.
Yeah, no.
Hey, what do you think of Miss Sarajevo? So it's Howley Toller.
Oh, so this cool thing happened during Miss Sarajevo, and if Chris hadn't poked me on the back and said, look over there, I wouldn't have even known it happened.
Honestly, it took a minute.
But, yeah, and then even when he did, I was like, what are you talking about? But who was it?
That, the video that accompanies Miss Sarajevo, it's a 15-year-old... a Syrian refugee girl who says, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a lawyer because I want to, you know, give everybody rights and protect those rights. And so during Miss Sarajevo, all the visuals are of the refugee camp in Jordan and the devastation in Syria. So at the operatic part of the song, all of a sudden we see up in the stands, there's this giant sheet, like what you would see at soccer games or if you're in your football games. And it's an image, and I believe it was the image of that same Syrian girl. And that sheet is being
like
pushed
this.
Around that part of the stadium. And it's like you have to carry her, you have to lift her, you have to support her, you have to support what's going on here. And it's a tangible reminder of what we're called to do in love thy neighbor and to support what's going on.
It was really cool to see it though. From we were, you know, obviously on the GA floor to see this massive, huge
white
canopy type thing, like traveling over heads of people in the section.
Flowing.
The first section of seats was really cool.
It was breathtaking. I mean, I
don't know where
cry,
it ended up. I wish I'd known.
About halfway behind us.
Yeah, right in the corner. They should have had a second one started on the other side. You know, there should have been more of them.
Me too, yeah.
It's like people weren't quite sure what to do.
It was breathtaking. I couldn't. It took me a minute to figure out that it was actually something real. I thought it was like a light picture.
I thought it was like a hologram.
Because I looked at this.
And then it looked like one of the parachutes in your elementary school gym class where you go.
It was breathtaking. That actually is the moment where I cried. That one. That was.
What are you laughing? Are we getting funny comments, Chris?
No, well, there's some in another language I can't read, so I'm not.
Can you just try to pronounce it for the fun of it?
Okay, so one of the other questions, Bullet of the Blue Sky, thoughts on just the way it was played.
You want to take this one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's got the t-shirt.
I do. She's wearing a Bullet t-shirt.
I thought it would be my favorite because it always is, but Exit was that much more powerful. I mean, I loved Bullet.
The Bullet Spotlight.
Bullet was still good. Yeah,
the
they
spotlight.
Did.
Oh,
yeah.
The big spotlight.
The big Rattle and Hum spotlight.
Pretty cool.
That they used on the original tour spotlight. Yeah.
And the same poses and everything.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they had the choreography the same as Rattle and Hum.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like it was, I'm so used to Bullet being this huge production now, and it was like a little more stripped down.
It was the original. It was good.
Spotlight had a camera in it, though, too,
yes.
Didn't it?
So when Bono turned it around, that was when the camera went on to him, and then he flashed the spotlight at Larry, it got him at the end. Yeah.
And another question was about the new song. Ended with the new song.
It was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very pretty.
I don't have much more to say about it. I mean, I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it immediately. It's fine.
I wasn't blown away.
The echoey acoustics in the stadium didn't help matter.
I like the song, and I want to go hear it some more.
Becky loved it.
I thought it was really pretty, and I couldn't catch it all, obviously, in one run through, but I want to go hear it some more.
They definitely seem to be having... Cool. They did, like, a cool... turning inward as they were playing, finishing the song. They were, as a band, they had to
write to it. I like that.
No, I couldn't tell if it was you never know with YouTube, it's staged or if they actually legitimately didn't know how to play at that point. Because Adam was looking at Edge for like chords and it looked like he was trying to see where he was. Yeah. Maybe the final question, unless something else comes in, was did the show meet or exceed your expectations for?
I think it met my expectations. I was so excited to get in and see it and wonder how it was all going to come together, and I enjoyed it, but I think like we were all saying, it was wanting to see other shows and seeing like if they work out a little bit of their kinks and make it just like a little bit tighter, but met my expectations. So yeah.
How about you, Michelle?
I would say the same.
Agreed. Yeah, it met,
and I think it might have been better if we hadn't had such a difficult experience getting inside.
Right, someone asked about that.
I'm not going to go there very far, but it really... We had a tough time getting in. It was a very badly handled situation out front, trying to get people into the building.
We didn't get in until Mumford & Sons was almost done with their set. I think I heard three of their songs. It was after 8 o'clock local time by the time that we got in.
And there were plenty.
And we weren't the last people in line by any means.
No.
Sherry, your expectations?
I actually entered into it without any expectations. So I think that there's some room for improvement, but I've seen worse shows. I've seen worse opening nights. It met an expectation, but I think that there's a lot of work that still needs to be done with the production.
That's fair.
True.
I'm sure they agree. No one asked us about the fashion.
Oh, and I want to say I'm glad I was there. Just, you know, met or exceed. I'm really glad I came up here to make the effort to go.
Larry has the best clothes on this tour. I'm just going to say it.
No, Adam had on some really
awesome
clothes.
Larry looks the most like he did in 1987.
Oh,
he wore clothes that were just
he literally hasn't changed.
They actually wore clothes.
Yeah. Larry has on the white t-shirt again.
He has the white t-shirt and the black t-shirt. He switched
halfway like he normally does.
Bonner didn't pull out the black sweatpants or anything.
Thank God Bono didn't wear clothes from this.
One question that came up a couple times, this is kind of a bit of a tangent, but America, is America ready, as five Americans, is America ready for the dark show that YouTube puts on? It was actually wasn't that dark.
It's not that dark. Exit was dark.
I can see how you're watching it without the audience around you, you can figure out
feel like
it might be.
Here's the thing. I think that they toned it down because they're in Canada, and the last time they were in Canada with an American message, it didn't go over so well.
Yeah.
You should ask after Seattle a different group of people and see what they have to say.
But also, if you're not ready, don't go.
That's them. That's
what they
thing.
Do.
It's them. You should be used to it. Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. She's,
yeah,
she's starting to sound
you
know? Like me. I love it.
But, no, but I mean, you shouldn't be surprised.
You should be in the stadium
yeah,
if
sure.
you don't want to hear 80
that's
songs.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Advice for people doing
yeah.
future shows.
Any advice as far as
don't stand on the right side
hang,
of the
hang
stage.
Hang toward the back or by red zone or sit and
see.
Get
a
seat.
Yeah.
yeah.
The people on Adam's side.
Buy your swag before you
yeah.
go into the show. Don't wait until the show time.
There's apparently shirts available at just the back, right? That were not
yeah.
available
yeah.
outside.
Yeah,
the merch,
that was. They did
show.
Have a
some
few
inside.
Selections that were only available.
Oh, actually,
available inside.
Let me go and get one.
Yeah,
Sherry's
sure
gonna model.
We were all
no,
in
not
GA.
Model,
yeah, I think if you're gonna be in a seat, you know, go straight back from the stage
that's
off
cool.
to. If you're facing the stage, off to the
yeah, Harry. If you
left.
Checked the at YouTube Twitter account earlier today, they tweeted out pictures of every single
except
almost,
for this,
not
this
every single
available.
One, but almost every single one. But this one was
oh,
one. No, this is a different one. So it's the I want to run from 87, and then on the back it says I want to hide from 2017. But there's another different one, but it wasn't available on the floor. By the way, this is a 2XL, ladies.
Whoa.
So,
I'm in trouble if that's a 2XL.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
I should hit the gym again.
The sizes are weird, so be
oh,
sure
yeah.
to shop
every
carefully.
Single t-shirt
is
every
different.
Single t-shirt had a different manufacturer, and in some cases, the large was done by Eden Live, but the medium was done by a different manufacturer.
It was just
so weird. So there was no consistency among
the
manufacturers.
The shirts were actually true to size because I got a large thinking... Because they're
the
always
tank
so
top.
Small.
But
yeah,
the
tank
tops
are good.
Tank tops
yeah.
are good.
Yeah.
Tank tops are true
to
size.
Yes.
Finally, thoughts on Mumford & Sons?
Like I said, I barely
saw
them.
Don't know.
Them.
I
barely saw
they seemed like they put on a good show. And
they sounded fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were fine.
The GA line theme was their last song in their set, which was I Will Wait.
I Will Wait.
Yeah. If you're into that sort of thing, I think they were great.
They were good, yeah. They sounded good, yeah.
All right. I think that's everything for now. Yeah, Matt's just posted the new song to the At YouTube YouTube channel, so I'm sure he's tweeted out links or will shortly from the At YouTube.
Oh, what do rock stars smell like? Should I save that for the next podcast,
save
Chris?
Save it for the podcast.
All right.
We don't have lyrics for the new song yet. Thanks, ladies.
There's our lyrics.
Ian's,
right here.
Ian's gonna work
right
on
here.
It.
Ian's still. Yeah.
He's typing as we speak.
In his head.
He's standing right here.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.